Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of our podcast. I am Andra Kovacu. I am one of the volunteers for Impact Jobs. And today with me, I have Gloria Karin Lopez, who will now introduce herself. Over to you, Gloria.
Thank you, Andra. Yes, hello, everyone. So yes, my name is Gloria Karin Lopez, and I'm a project manager at an organization called Forum for Social Innovation Sweden, and we are part of Malmö University and four other universities in Sweden. So we are a national competence and collaboration platform for social innovation.
Thank you, Gloria. Yes, you have a very interesting life experience and career. So I was thinking maybe we can dive a bit into that.
Yep.
You have been studying human rights, and then slowly but surely you moved into sustainable science. Do you feel like these two complement each other? And if so, in which ways?
Definitely. I think they complement each other, and that's also why I wanted to study both of them. I think that they are connected in the way that they both care about human beings and that they should be able to live their lives, but then they have different focal points, of course, or starting points. So whereas I think human rights studies, the way I've understood it, is that you focus on the human worth and then how you should live dignified lives that would be in how do you say, now I kind of lost the thread, but that you can live dignified lives that correspond to that human worth. So whereas sustainability science focus more on the fact that we need to have an inhabitable earth in order to live human lives. So they have different starting points, but they both focus on how humans can live and then either dignified lives or in order to live at all, I would say.
Thank you. Now we went already into this with sustainability, but I'm a bit curious, when did it start for you and what was it that attracted you to sustainability, sustainable lifestyles?
It started when I worked as a product manager at a social company called Retoy. And we were focused on, I came in as with a focus on children's rights. And then we also had the whole idea was to organize toy swaps. So it was both a focus on children and that they would learn about their rights, but it was also an opportunity for them to swap their toys and have fun and in that way reduce their carbon emissions. And it was also a way to inform the parents about toxins that can exist in toys. So what you should not buy then, and we were also able to take care of those toys that could contain toxins and then give them to the recycling companies that would take care of them in the correct manner. And I had never really thought about the connection between sustainability and human rights before that, but I saw how they are both aiming toward more meaningful lives and to live in a way that is good for the society and other people. So then I was very curious to learn more about sustainability. And I think that what attracts me with sustainability and sustainable lifestyles, you would say, is the ethical part of it. So I really like that, at least for me, to make my life feel meaningful, I want to be connected with other humans. And I think especially when you talk about sustainability, that is based on the fact that you are connected with other humans around the world. We share the same air that we breathe, the same water that travels around the globe, so that what we do will affect humans in other parts of the world. And I think that's kind of amazing that we are connected in that way, but also then that gives us a responsibility to act in a way that also allows other people to live just as meaningful lives or free lives as you are. So that is what attracts me with sustainability.
Thank you. That was really interesting to understand the rationale behind you being so much into the sustainability part. And you mentioned Ritoy briefly, and that is actually the way we two met before. So that's also nice that we, the world is so little and that we came back together here to discuss about this. And you mentioned briefly what you did in Ritoy, but can you tell us a bit more about your work within sustainability? So starting from Ritoy to the place where you are now.
Yeah, and I can actually even start like even earlier than that. When I started my bachelor studies in human rights studies 10 years ago, I wanted to learn more about what does it mean in practice with human rights? What do you do? What kind of work is that? So I wanted to start being engaged as a volunteer, and I joined Plan Sweden had created youth groups around Sweden, and they had started one in Malmö very recently. So I joined that group, and so directly I got this focus on children's rights. And we organized events with lectures and film screenings about Plan's work with children's rights. And actually the first like focus we had was on the connection between children's rights and climate adaptation, like sustainability. And I didn't know back then, of course, that would be my focus later on in the career, but actually I've kind of come back to that connection between the two, so that's kind of funny. And then I've joined many other organizations since, but this also then gave me the, when I had finished my studies in human rights and also then continued being engaged voluntarily, I was a very good fit then for this social company called Ritoy, where we met, Andra and I, very nice. So yeah, I was the project manager for the toy swaps in, firstly in Skåne, in the region of Skåne, and then for all of Sweden. So we had partnerships with the municipalities in different parts of Sweden. And we also worked together with these recycling companies. I'm not sure the correct term in English, but I think you understand what I mean. Yeah. So I was the one talking with our partners and planning the events and making sure that we had leaders such as Andra, who would be responsible at the toy swaps. And then I also recruited the volunteers and educated them on children's rights and sustainability.
Yeah, thank you. And I think the work, now that I was also a part of it, the work we did also by sorting out the toys was very important, as you mentioned, because there were also something that we stood upon while doing the activities was that people, not like parents, were not really aware of the toxins in those toys and how much harm they could do to their children. So it was also a way of educating the parents, I would say, during the activities we had.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was very important and maybe interesting for us to hear is that, and this is where kind of also human rights and sustainability are very good to play together, because I think that the reason for why we also did this was, of course, it's just good thing to do to get rid of the toxins, but and also that impacts the children's development, especially when they are that young. We were focused on children 3 to 7 years old, so you really you are even more sensitive to the toxins than a grown-up would be. But I think that an important reason for why we should do this is kind of based on the fact that it's the best for the children. So, and that is one of the principles in children's rights, that you should also always consider what's the best for the children. So that was really because some parents thought that, of course, some of the toys were made perhaps the most designed in a very fashionable way, or that was perhaps what they wanted to keep those toys, but that's not what's best for the children.
Yeah, and sometimes it also happened to be just like cheaper than other toys that we also stumbled upon. So I think giving the opportunity to exchange some toys it's also a good way of continuing this like circular economy in a sense, and the sustainability aspect of it. So that was definitely great. Okay, now let us find out more about you as a person. And what I would like to know is, what makes you feel inspired, or when do you feel your best self?
That's a very tough question, I think. But I am inspired. Well, I'm always like feeling my best when, as I said earlier, when I feel connected with other people, when I think that we understand each other. And for example, in my work now that I do as project manager at Forum for Social Innovation Sweden, I have a great colleague. Her name is Celia Boltes. Shout out to her. And when we look at what kind of impact we want to achieve and then design new methods or actions to take in order to achieve that impact, that is what I think is the most like interesting part of my job and what really inspires me to go to work. And when I feel also, of course, good about myself, that's really the fun part.
Yeah, I think it's very important to find people that you can really connect to, like directly. I think there's this special connection that you have with certain people, and then it just makes things go easier. And one thing that's also extremely great about you, and that I have to tell everyone that is listening, is that you are like a sponge. You're that kind of person that gets energy from the others. And that's super important. Like when you see someone that inspires you, you just glow even more. So I think that's really nice.
Thank you, Anna. That's really nice to hear.
Okay, back to sustainability, but still related to you. What would be your best tip for making the world like a more sustainable place? What would you tell people that they should do?
I have actually put a lot of thought into this. So my best tip would be for everyone to consider what makes their life the most meaningful. And then when you know that, strip off the rest. So then you would have more space for what actually makes their life meaningful. And I think that for everyone, actually, it would be a more sustainable life. It would be spend more time with close family and friends. It wouldn't be as much traveling or of course, traveling is nice if you do it in a sustainable way, walking, cycling with vehicles run on electricity that is from renewed electricity. But of course, I think that if you take that starting point of considering what it makes your life meaningful, what do you want to do and who do you want to be with, all of that, then I think that can be a good starting point for actually living a more sustainable life.
Thank you, Gloria. Yes, I totally agree with you. Like if you start with, I mean, the change starts with yourself. So when you really get to a point where you are happy with what you have, then you can start bringing the change into the world as well. But then based on what you just said, what could you tell the people in your industry or people working within, let's say, university levels or this kind of thing, that they should either stop or start doing to become more sustainable?
Stop doing, a definite thing. Stop flying. Because actually universities do fly a lot, even though our research clearly shows that that's not good at all. We know this. So here at Malmö University, our sustainability the one who's responsible for our sustainability work, she actually has developed a new travel policy for us. So really, we consider now flying as the last option. And I think that's really great. I think that that's what's important in my industry to have an impact. And then start doing, that's a great... I think... bring a coffee cup. Like when you go and buy a coffee at these you don't even have to buy it, always have this kind of traveling cup that you can bring with you.
Yeah, having a reusable mug or cup is a great tip. Yeah, but I that's also one thing that we can expand to the coffee industry or like coffee shops industry to give people some incentive. So I know there are already some where if you bring your own mug, you get a certain discount. Mm. And I think that's great. That gives people the incentive that they need to put a bit of effort into it.
Yeah, definitely. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to also mention a group that I think is really like one of those organizations that I've been part of voluntarily is called Klimatsvaret. So it's part of a wider network or organization called Citizens Climate Lobby. And they focus on how to incentivize people to actually reduce their carbon emissions when traveling. So I think if anyone's interested in this state, they should really look up this group called Klimatsvaret Sverige.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Yeah, definitely. I think it's always good to, after you start a change with yourself, starting to engage in this kind of organizations, associations that work for the greater good. That's definitely brilliant. Okay, now I have one last question for you. And if we think about you are now sitting, I'm not that one, but if hypothetically speaking, you're sitting next to a leading expert in, let's say, sustainability, what would you ask them?
Really tough question. So for example, I think Kimberly Nicholas at Lund University, professor, she's really inspiring. Her family lives in America, but she hasn't traveled with flying. She wants to learn how to sail in order to visit her family, and she does her research on this, on sustainability science. And for example, what would I ask her? I already know she, like, one question I would like to ask is, of course, what is the most effective measure to do to live a sustainable life? But I already know actually she has already made she has already focused on this. So there is and this is like the beef, the card, you have the five of those measures that are the most effective. Mm. And I was actually fortunate enough to have her as one of my teachers when I did my master's studies. So that's also perhaps why I've already been able to ask her many questions.
It's anyway interesting that there are so many inspirations local level as well, but sometimes we just forget about them because we focus on like the national or those people that are always on TV and stuff. But there are people who are doing big changes at small levels, which is super, super important in the long run and in the bigger picture. Thank you so much for joining the podcast, Gloria. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for inviting me, and I really enjoyed talking to you again, Andrea.